everybody tonight around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel. Glad to have you in here tonight. We love Yahweh. We hope you do. I know you do. Praise Yahweh. If you are a sentinel on the wall, and if you're watching, you know that there is a people on the earth that really, really and truly love Yahweh. And that is our message tonight, the racial identification of Israel, or the IRI identification, racial identification of Israel. Now, I want to, first of all, to lay a gestalt down for you tonight to tell you that there are three main understanding or viewpoints that are entertained around the world by the masses, and some of this is deceitful. There are some people who believe, namely, that the people of the Holy Bible are, number one, the church, mainly the Roman Catholic Church. It's the largest church in the world. Now, the Protestants somewhere, but Christians in general believe that the Bible is for the church. The second understanding of people is that the Bible is to the Jews. And the third understanding is that Yahweh has a people called the Anglo-Saxon and kindred people. Now, we're going to seriously search the scriptures and let the scriptures establish the answer. For too long, the first two nominees have virtually gone uncontested, and now they are being challenged by ministers of the last age to bring the burden of proof that these two first two theories, namely the church and the Jews, they are weighed in the balance and found wanting. It doesn't hold up. Now, the third group claiming identity as Israel is the most controversial and hated and feared, and it has been forced to produce the evidence that is not based on hearsay or what you've heard in the church age pastors, as they have told you that God, number one, God wrote the Bible to the whole world, and that God loved the whole world, and God gave his son for the whole world. When the Bible teaches contrary to that message, so then the stigma that you have to break through or break down and explain to the people that you're trying to witness to that Yahweh has a special people. And the Bible talked about those who rejected him, whom the world generally believes is God's people, and that the Christ was rejected by his people, the Jews, number one, and so that he could come and rescue the Gentiles or the rest of the people. You see, people characterize and identify two groups of people in the earth. Christian beliefs are related to this one fact that is common thread sown in the hearts of man, which is a false concept, that there's two classes of people, Jew and Gentile. Somehow the Jew has wiggled out of the family. You see what I mean? And now he's claiming superiority, and if you read the Talmud books that they have written, it could be confirmed and verified through their own message and they don't want you to hear it. That's why you can't walk into any bookstore as a Christian and purchase a Talmud and read about what they think about you if you are a Gentile and you foolishly have believed that you are. And so then, with this doctrine of that the Jews are God's chosen people and the church people, mainly Christians, believe in that. Oh, yeah, it's a common theme, as I said, sown among the minds of those who are in this kind of thinking. And we're going to deal with the third kind, the Anglo-Saxon and the kindred, and we're going to show you where they're at, how to identify them, who they are and who they always were. And yet a strange thing happened on the way to paradise. We lost our identity. And we lost it because we did not want to adopt the commandments or to keep them. We wanted to be like the heathen people around about. When Israel was collectively a nation, it was not made up of Jews. No, I'm going to repeat that. When Israel was a collective nation, a theocratical government operated solely on the commands of Yahweh, Yahweh himself directing them where to go to, what to do, how long to stay, and what to believe. And the racial book called the Bible that most Christians try to avoid and deny and hide and sweep under the rug, this is the greatest racial inflammatory literature upon the earth, is nothing but the Bible. I'm going to repeat that. The greatest inflammatory racial language was written, if you can believe this, by Yahweh himself, and the holy prophets spake as they were moved on by Yahweh himself for this covenant principle, a love letter, if you will, to a people, not to the world. My people, we're going to get into the scriptures and how to identify and to locate this lost people that has lost their identity and is now scattered among the heathen, the Goyim, if you will. Now, the word Goyim is Hebrew for what we would determine as Gentiles. Now, the scripture is very plain in its references where it says that in the command of the Messiah, if you'll believe him, he told us specifically that there would be a time that we would be like those in the days of Noah, that we would entertain ourselves with the people of the world. We would entwine with them. We would be known as the Goyim or the Gentiles. Now listen to the scripture to show you that the racial covenant book was too foreign about one people. Not the Gentiles, not the Jews, not the church, but to a people, racial covenant. It is a racial covenant book to the same chosen people that remain chosen irregardless of how blind or dumb they have become. Galatians 3:16 would point out to you this fact. Yahweh does not advocate a pluralism or a national blessing upon a melting pot of races, better known as the seeds of the earth. When it talks about seeds, it's talking about races. And if you are out of the group that believe that God used Adam to bring all the diverse seeds or races into the earth. You're one of those who has entertained the thoughts, namely the church and the Jews, this teaching, that the Jews are God's chosen people. They have replaced the real chosen people. They have made themselves, in the eyes of the blind, stupid, dumb sheep, as the possessor of the scepter and the birthright. When Christ entertained these people and engaged them in conversation many times, we find that he talked about a specific blood inheritance group chosen by him and blooded by him. Now, when I say blooded by him, I'm talking about that he was the progenitor. Now, Abraham had many sons, but the inheritance was to descend through only one, and that one son of descent was Isaac. He claimed everything in the Bible, and it's in Genesis 21:12 and Romans 9:7, for in Isaac shall thy seed, thy race. Now, we ought to take that word seed out and remove it and replace it with the other four-letter word, race. Now, if it would have been like that, because everybody thinks that God loves every seed and that God's covenant is to every seed, or if we would put it in proper language, that God loves every race and God loves, has a covenant with every race in the earth. And that's not true. The Bible will not justify that thinking that we have become a collaboration, if you will, of seeds that are races that have been mixed together and chosen. And we take the Christian creed, and here again, the number one thought is that the church will save anything, be it Jew or Gentile, that will confess Jesus Christ with their mouth, then they will administer salvation through the doors of the church. Not through the doors of the Bible, not through the understanding of the Bible, not through the covenants of the Bible. The covenant in the Bible is only made racially to one people and by blood inheritance. This blood is a blood of the Father himself becoming the progenitor of David, both the root, and that's very important for you to remember that, the root is before the offspring. It takes the root to produce the offspring. So the root of David was Yahweh. Now I'm going to repeat this according to the scripture. I am the root and the offspring of David. Revelation 22. I am the root and the offspring. If he is he the root and offspring of all the other races, specifically different from David? And the answer is no. David and the kindred of 12 parts of the eternal circle, making up the heavenly offspring of Yahweh. Now listen to the scripture. Yahweh knows them that are his. Now, we know genocide is to actually eliminate a race. Now, the holy command for racial separation that we're going to study later on in the series of the racial identification of Israel, we're going to get into racial covenants and sworn allegiance to a family not the world or not the earth, but a family. So then, Yahweh's chosen people are specifically by blood inheritance. Now, seed is genetic, not something sentimentally wish for or emotionally strive for. I mean, if it was a case of emotional striving, Esau strived with bitter tears. Every preacher on earth would have saved Esau seeing his repentance, seeing his claim. But ladies and gentlemen, though he wept with bitter tears, Yahweh, his own record himself, as saying that I hate him. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Does God have respect of persons? And the answer is no. You say, well, then that solves it. Then why didn't he save Esau? The same reason he didn't save Cain. He doesn't have respect to persons, ladies and gentlemen, or all persons. He has respect to. Not all, but two. There's an entirely different and difference in of and to. He respected of the difference here between Jacob, who was a bloodline descendant of the root. It is evident by deeper studying and searching in the scriptures that Esau was not from the root, but that he was a tare, as was Cain, the evil one, or the wicked one, or from the wicked one, who Christ addressed these Cainites throughout the New Testament to continue the covenant of Yahweh's chosen people to warn about, go not, as he said in the book of Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, go not to the Gentiles. Go not. Well, if there's only two races in the earth, Jew and Gentile, and he told his disciples not to go to the Gentiles, then who's left here? He didn't say Jews. And there is a difference between Jew and a Judah or a Judite. There's a difference between those that are in the covenant and those that are excluded or got close to the covenant and didn't make it because of blood. The difference is racial identification of the seed or the race that comes before him. Now, let me give you a firm upfront downtown Charlie Brown statement of fact. Yahweh knows them that are his. That must mean that he knows them also that are not his. We say anything that will confess him is going to be saved, for whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh will be saved. Okay. Let's go back and give you some definitive terms of those that called and didn't get it. Mainly, Esau is an example that I would quote again to freshen your memory. He called on him, but he couldn't get saved. Only those that call upon him who have a right. Because remember, he has not respect of, he has respect to. Again, he determines who is going to call upon him to receive salvation, and it's only his people. And Romans 11:29 says that the gifts and calling of God are not subject to change. The gifts and the callings of God. Gifts and callings. There are many called. Esau was called, but he went a-whoring. Cain was called, and he came and appeared before Yahweh. wrong seed, and the racial book was written to separate those who are worthy and those who are not worthy. And the Bible says, choose this day, and God's chosen people are specifically by blood inheritance. If you're not his, you ain't none of his. I'm going to repeat that. If you are not his. Now, when you have before you a book, now the Bible talks about a specific book that is not kept on earth, but was kept in heaven. And all of those who were on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world, who would later incarnate into flesh bodies and be his own as a collective family to style and profile. Well, we went out into the earth, instead of styling and profiling for Yahweh, we styled and profiled because of the wicked one and his ways and his enticements, and his temptations were so great that most of us was overcome by the world. Whosoever loveth the world loveth not the covenant plan and the racial identification of his own blood. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a sheep, not the sheep or other sheep, but a sheep that hears his voice, singular, a sheep. The gospel call goes out to you as a sheep. Now, you become the sheep or the other sheep that are not of this fold. And there he said, I have sheep, other sheep that are not of this fold. And this is the racial identification of go only to the lost sheep that are scattered abroad, that are scattered among. Now, don't go get the Gentile, but go get my lost sheep that love to be heathen, that have forgotten me, that have forgotten my covenant. But as long as there's a sun and moon, I will not forget my people. Now, let me show you something here. Yahweh made a covenant with Abraham. It was confirmed to Isaac in Genesis 26, verses 3 through 5. To make thy seed, not the seed of the earth, or the different races of the earth, to make your seed, or your race, Isaac. Now, if you go back to Isaac and Genesis 21, you'll get the picture. Yahweh was involved in the pregnancy of Sarah. He caused something to happen to her, and she got pregnant, so therefore he became the root of Isaac. He is the definite cause of Isaac coming into being. He was overshadowing, and Mary was the definite, definitive cause of producing the one we call the Son of Yahweh, or the Son of God, or the firstborn that I just got off the series. So then, the identical happening of the progenitor, or the root substance, as we now have as our Father, who is a loving, kind shepherd, now seeking out the sheep, as it so identifiable of the racial identification of a people mentioned in the 34th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. I will, confirmed by the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Behold, it is I, not we us or them. Behold, it is I alone, I am the good shepherd. I come to seek out my sheep. In that day, lo, it will be God Almighty. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh, and the Word was made flesh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how can you get around the inheritance of the blood factor that Yahweh first calls and then he qualifies? Many are called, but few are chosen. If those that are called up the altar and raise their hands and say they're saved, and they got their name on the church book, that does not mean that their name was on the Lamb's book before they were born into a flesh body. Although they come and they submit that they are Christians. This is the group theory of the church, the Christian church, that claims supremacy as Gentiles to the throne of God. That's a wrong concept. You could pray all day till you're blue in the face. You could feel, seal, and spill your heart at the altar. You could get up, feel better, look better, and do better, and still not have salvation. Now, why would I say that? What would possess me to declare that salvation is to them that had their birth from above, not from below? Why would I determine by studying the scriptures that your birth happened long before you came into this world and went to some altar and confessed and acknowledged by tradition or by some urging or some longing that is deep entwined into your spirit, that you have sought him? And the Bible said, those that seek me early will find me, the day that you seek me with all of your heart. Now, the Bible says that the heart is desperately weakened, wicked. Now, if the heart is desperately wicked, who can search it? I, Yahweh. So when you come before him as his people, claiming that you have accepted Christ as your Savior, and that God, eternal, the Father, promised to save you, that's not so. Because you've read the scripture, whosoever will call upon the name. How can you call without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word. And when you hear the true prophets, it's not so easy. When you hear the real truth, it makes you ponder. It makes you wonder whether you've ever been saved, quote-unquote saved, in the Christian church. I wasn't saved in the Christian church. I was deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you, according to the Bible. He said, well, who can be saved? Well, let me give you the word. A few. Many are called, again, but a few are chosen in the racial covenant that Yahweh would determine, predetermine, that the book, if you come to him and you bow before him and you want to get saved, why would you pray to get saved when your name is not on the Lamb's book? Just like Esau, just like Cain, just like the untold millions who have no covenant with him. You say, buddy, you mean to tell me that the whole world's going to hell except the ones that he chosen before the foundation of the world? I would say that without any reservation, and prove it in the scriptures that only those who have their name written in the Lamb's book. You say, well, good. Then all I got to do is to believe that. Faith without works is dead. You've got a covenant. You've got a pattern. See, do it according to the pattern. Who sets you an example when you come into? You say, I don't have to be baptized. I'm already born from above. Glory to God. You are a liar. You are a despicable liar when you say that you do not have to be baptized for the covenant to be sealed into the mind or the heart of your understanding. If you ain't got this understanding, you're lacking. The pattern was set for you. I'm going to give you a scripture to think about. The baptism of John. John came preaching one thing only. believe on him that cometh after me. And if you believe that, come down here to the river, and I'll baptize you. Or come down here to the creek, and I'll baptize you. Or come down here to the pool, whatever, and I'll baptize you. Come down here where there's water, I'll baptize you. And those who came, confessing that they believed that there was a future Messiah coming behind the forerunner, who is John the Immerser. All right, now we bring the Messiah on the scene in the 7th chapter of the book of Luke. John, according to the Messiah, came neither eating or drinking. And you said he had a devil. He cut his head off for his efforts. I come eating and drinking, and you call me a glutter and a wine bibber, and you won't do what I tell you to do. The baptism of John, was his command to water baptize you? Did it come from heaven, or did it come from man? I won't ask you that question. And the smart aleck, the Pharisees, who thought they were too good to get into the water, too proud, too haughty and high-minded, too deceived by false prophets who teach against water baptism for the remission. What is water baptism for? For the remission. Just because you claim to be a son of Yahweh and you got your name on the Lamb's book and you refuse the covenant ordinances that was delivered unto you for you to obey. See, this is initiation.
Oh, I don't have to be baptized. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. Glory to God. I'm born from above. I ain't got nothing to worry about. Ha, ha, ha.
What did the Messiah say again? The baptism of John, the immerser, into water. Water. W-A-T-E-R. Water. Nothing lives without it. I want to repeat this to you half-breeds. You so-calls, or you never was, or never could be, or you never wanted to be. Without water, you have no life. John 3 and 5, without water and the Spirit, you cannot. Yeah, you may say you can, but if you make Yahweh out to be a liar, oh, you can come up, well, that was water in the belly. The woman's water. Let me say this. The Messiah didn't stand in a womb of water when he was baptizing. He stood in a river. In the Gospel of St. John, chapter 3, starting at verse 22, over to the first verse of John chapter 4, behold, I stand at the door. I bring the gospel of salvation and repentance and water baptism in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins. I stand at the door. How can you hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? It is a racial covenant book for a people that will obey him. Oh, we're rich and we don't lack nothing. We're born from above. We don't have to do nothing, Lord God. We can make fun of everybody. We can throw out all these little silly, useless accusations of our knowledge. You profess yourself to be wise, you become a fool. When you reject water baptism, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were fools. However, the gospel wasn't for them, no way. That's why they couldn't come and receive baptism. And when he said, was the baptism that John preached for the remission of sin, was it from heaven or did some man think us up? Was this for the people that was born from above, or from the people who thought that they were born from above and were not? Because their pride lifted up wouldn't let them walk out into a stream in public and to repent and to be anointed with water and buried in a grave. Don't you think the angels ain't watching? Don't you think that the book of life, just because that your name is on the book of life, and if you think it can't be rubbed out, you better read again. Who he that will not keep my commandments, I'll take his name out of the book. So don't brag, and don't be boasterous, don't be proud, dotting about knowing nothing. When you think you know everything, you better get your ducks in a row. And you better become a duck, you better get wet. You dry land fish just won't swim to the shore. You won't make it. If you're not buried in a watery grave and water baptism in a specific name, these shall call upon my name, they shall be saved. When I call upon every name under heaven, but, as a bunch of goats would do, but, I don't have to be baptized in Yahweh's name, I was baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Glory to God. If I've had one man to tell me that, I've had 10,000. And then you run onto this Jesus freaks. They run over to Acts 2:38, and the New Testament, where the name has been voided and removed from the Scriptures, the actual name of salvation taken out. A name that seemed like placed in Jesus, E-A-Zeus, placed in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. I know I got trapped in that mindset. When I was 23 years old, I was a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost man. When I was 23 years old, I heard a message preached from the lips of a oneness Jesus only man. I repented and was baptized in the name of Jesus only for 30 years. Preached it like trees have fallen, would have had my head cut off for it. Just because you're devoted, just because you are very proficient in the Scriptures, mighty in the Scriptures, like Apollos of Acts 18, he only knew the baptism of John. Water baptism is not enough to get you in, even if you're in the correct name. There must be another element that comes into play into your life. Born of water and the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, you're none of his. Simon, the sorcerer of Acts chapter 10, was water baptized in the correct name. The apostolic fathers baptized him. But he didn't have the Spirit. And he was none of Yahweh. He was rejected. There are some people that are fervent in the Spirit, just like Apollos, who was at Corinth, preaching mightily and fervent in the Spirit. But he didn't have the whole plan. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, you can go halfway and never get to heaven. You can go 99% of the way and miss heaven. You got to go all the way, and all the way is keep the commandments and to come to the point that it's so obvious that 2,000 years ago, when he said the baptism of John, was it heaven or was it of man? And they said, we can't tell. Because they said, they formulized this in their mind. They got together and huddled up like they were playing a game of football. They said, now, if we say it's from heaven, then he's going to come back and say, well, why didn't you believe it? Why didn't you get baptized? Why didn't you get wet, you dry land sucker? And, of course, they were proud. They wasn't going to get wet. You know, wetness humbles you down. I've noticed people when they get baptized, they come up and it's a grasp. And they feel so humbled to be wet. It's not normal. Unless you're out of the football game and it rains on you for 60 minutes and you look like a grounded duck and you're so proud that you can pull off your shirt and beat your chest like a gorilla or a monkey or both and make as much monkey as two of them or three of them or four of them or half a dozen of them, and you can boast of your prowess in a fleshly mental temple that doesn't have one iota of what the Holy Ghost is and what its powerful meaning is to a racial covenant people who say, what do you believe, glory to God? I preach 5 nights a week. Why don't you tune in? I don't have time to engage in your silly annex of trading barbs. When I see that you're just up to nonsense, you're not going to get anything out of me. They didn't get nothing out of Christ when they berated him. Speak to us! Cat God should come in. Oh, you must be one of them. You can't say nothing. He opened not his mouth. When you're before a hurricane, don't sow no seed. When you're before the swine, don't put no pearls in their snout. Because you're never going to win with these idiots. These blooming, they're like a blooming onion. Put in the oven and baked and they sprout and they spread out. But they're still an onion head. It's obvious, ladies and gentlemen, that the Greek word for church is ecclesia and means a calling out. You better come out not of the things that seem right, but the things that are right. And there's a way that seems right that's got a lot of people, including those in identity, that will not have water baptism in the name of Yahweh. You're nothing but a dry land sucker. And the devil's got you on his hook, and he's going to carry you to hell where you'd pray for one drop. And you'd wish you got baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins, because it's certain you ain't going to go there with them. Nothing that ain't clean and washed as a sacrificial, you yourself are a temple. You must, you better be, and you will be if you go to heaven, washed and sanctified in the name of Yahweh. You come up and say, "Hey, boy, I'm Israel. I'm born to Jacob. I'm born to this one." You know, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of men have went to hell thinking that they were something. And a lot of people have gone to heaven knowing they were nothing. But they obeyed the plan. Go out there and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized, water, glory to God. The first example of those he commanded to go was water baptizing. And if you don't think so, you're a liar. You're one of those dogs, you dry land sucker dogs. You better get in the water. You better become a water dog that is washed and cleaned and repaired by the command and the covenant of Yahweh that you passed from death unto life simply because that you've obeyed the covenant. Well, let me see here now. He said the baptism of John, water baptism. Now, we haven't seen it. The preachers and the priests, the scribes hadn't read it in the Word of the Bible. We got these labors down there. We wash our feet. We wash our hands 30 times a day. That ought to be good enough. That's what Moses commanded. Here come a man on the scene preaching water baptism for the remission of sin. Here come one behind him that preached the same thing, only added one little catch. You got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh.
What if I got the Holy Ghost? I don't need the water baptism.
You got to have them both. Anything that you seem to have will be taken away from you in that day if you haven't got the complete plan. You know, I have to deal with smart addicts all the time. I have to deal with these suckers, these dry land suckers. They waste my time. I've got no time for you idiots that want to blaspheme the Holy Ghost and speak evil. And because that you have got access to something that you think somebody else is reading, and you're smart through your prowess of a typewriter. It's going to take more than a typewriter to scare me. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't back down with the word. I preach the word. I ain't got time for your foolishness. I'm going to preach the word as it hairlips a devil. And you grow a wart on the end of your nose, and every day that you live, it gets a quarter bigger. But you'll never get too big. Yahweh don't open up hell for you to receive you, so you remember that. All nations will go to hell if forget the commandment covenant of Yahweh. And if you boast that you've got him and you don't need this covenant, then you're going to deny what Yahweh said. Everyone going back to the days of Moses, everyone that left Egypt got baptized in the water. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, everyone from Moses until the last one called out of this wicked, evil, adulterous world into the kingdom of heaven will be water baptized in the name of Yahweh, or you ain't going.
You say, well, Pastor Buddy, I'll tell you what, you can be baptized and never creep from here to yonder. And if you ain't got the real thing, you ain't going.
Well, one of the real things is water baptism. You can fly away, you can shout, you can run the aisles, you can speak in tongues, you can hang off the rafters, you can kick, you can go into a false name, and you can shake and shimmy, and I've seen people with, oh, let the Lord glory to God, and then they'll kick at the word. Be sure you're not offended with the word. Here come the Messiah preaching in the fourth chapter of the book of John. And the people say, hey, man, this man believes what he's preaching. He's preaching the same thing that John preached. But he added something. He said, you got to have the Holy Ghost. Or the Ruach, if you Hebrews are wanting to lay back there. So, well, that's a spook. A ghost is a spook. A Holy Ghost is a spook. You know, I've had them to smart mouth, milly mouth, and round, and make fun of people that talk about the Holy Ghost. Well, let's call it the Spirit. If you have not the Spirit, you're none of His, whether it be a Holy Ghost or the Ruach. Same thing. So don't get caught up just because somebody says Holy Ghost and you think you can wiggle out of it that you're going to get there without it. You ain't going to get it. You ain't going to get there without getting it either. And if you think you're going to get it, if you don't give him all of your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, I've got more respect for Pentecostals, or for that matter, a Baptist, or a non-denominational that will go to the altar and repent and pray to be endued with power from on high, as opposed to these stiff-necked identities that get out here and say, oh, I've got the racial covenant, I don't have to do all that crap. I tell you what, if you don't humble yourself down in the presence of Yahweh, if you don't seek Him with all your heart, you better pray that you're worthy to enter in. The divine chastisements of our people, even the chastisements are a blessing, because the Bible says that Yahweh chastises them that are His, and without chastisement, you're a bastard. If you keep on going on, you curl like a big rooster, and you're sitting around, and you wax fat with do nothing, and say, well, I'm one of them that belongs to God through a covenant. Bless God, remember this. Just because you can graft it in, you can also be broken off. Don't think yourself too highly that He can't break you off from the branch or the trunk. Because that's basically what you are. You're a branch, and you're probably in a good-looking branch to that. Most of these people, they want to kick on the word. They're ugly as homemade soap anyway. Beautiful people have a glow about their heart and their minds. It's their spirit and their humbleness. That's beauty. You're proud and doubting about knowing nothing. You think you know something, and you accuse those that do. And you attack the righteous people. You attack those that preach it. Who do you believe? I don't know you, no explanation what I believe other than the gospel. And I'm set in defense of it. And I've got plenty of preaching that's recorded. Every sermon I've done for the last 10 years is on live public recordings. And there's thousands of them. So I'm not going to spend my time trying to convert you with our words when I know that you're up to nothing but to show off. What do I owe you other than what I owe Yahweh? To love Him and keep His commandments, and His covenant is this. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins. and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Only a remnant, let me repeat this, not all Israel will be saved, because not all Israel is Israel. Now, let me repeat that for you people that think you're Anglo-Saxon Israel. There's as many of you going to hell as anybody else. You'll go there because of your unbelief. You'll go there because you will not accept the covenant. You'll go there because you won't accept the plan. So don't get fancy down around me. I've seen your kind come and go. I just didn't get in this yesterday. I've been in it a long time. And as the old saying goes, I'm an old rat in the mill. And I'm like the old sow at the end of the trough. I don't get excited when you come gleeing like a little squirt, a little runt pig that wants to get up in the trough and act like you got something. You'll have to prove it around me, and you better have the word with you too, because you'll need it. Only a remnant of Israel will be saved. 11:5 Romans. Only a remnant. It is a spiritually minded Israel, not a physically minded Israel, because physical, flesh, and blood mentality that will not obey the covenants and the revelation is not going to get there. If his kingdom was of this world, he would have took a handful of the Israelites and whipped the whole world and killed every one of them like he commanded in his racial covenants. But it wasn't. My kingdom is in you. My kingdom was given to you by the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're none of his. Quite plain and simple. You can claim racial father covenants. You can claim anything you want to. But if you haven't got what it takes to get to heaven, how many times is water baptism mentioned in the New Testament? Enough that you ought to believe it. But evidently it's not enough, because you wouldn't believe it if it was 10,000 more scriptures there, because you won't believe the ones that are there. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, you ought to be convinced. And so this is what is known by racial covenant identity. It's not because you're white that makes you right. It's because that you've got something under the collarbone, something down deep. You got a sincereness. You got a humbleness. You've been to the fountain. You drank. You waited out. I've seen people, just a couple of years ago, I've seen people that waited out into more mud. There was bad enough water to get them baptized with the sediments of the river that we went into. It was deeper in the mud than it was in the water. But you think that deterred them because that was the only, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And the prophet Philip said, thou can if you believe with all your heart. Acts 8. The meeting that they had in Acts 8:12 consisted of water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Ghost in verse 14. Again, Simon was part of that entourage that got baptized in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Later, Peter in the 10th chapter confirmed that the household of Cornelius was not Gentile, but was racial covenant Israel and deserved a chance to hear the gospel. Go not to the Gentiles, but to the lost sheep. And I've got to close it, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to Pastor Buddy tonight around the world. And I hope my hard preaching hasn't offended you, but you're going to need something below the collarbone. Just not something that you can read out of the Bible and figure out that you're so proud and haughty and minded that you can stay at home and be a nothing or a smart aleck or a nobody. You don't impress me. If you're not out trying to convince people, if you're not out working and doing the things of Yahweh, the apostles went forth believing and baptizing. They had revivals. You need one. You need to get in one. Yahweh is the King of all kings. He's coming soon to a people that's kept the faith and hasn't denied his name. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you tonight that if you want to repent and get baptized, you've come to the right place and the right man. That's what I've been called to do, to baptize you in the name of Yahweh and pray for you to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for the promise to you and your children. So if you like that and you won't settle for a counterfeit or something that you've been taught that's not right as opposed to that which is, come. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary, and we love you tonight. We send our racial covenant greetings out to you, each and every one, in the fulfillment of the hard sayings in the gospel. It's the plan of salvation, and everybody has to repent and go down in the water. If you can find it, you need to get into it, and don't get into it without going into the name of Yahweh and pray that you be worthy of receiving the salvation and grace that could come upon you by the hope and the joy and the peace of a covenant that is promised to you. Write me, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now again, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, with the zip being 37824. Well, I love you, and I appreciate you, and I know Yahweh is coming after a people that's kept the faith and hasn't denied his name. I'll see you, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night around the world, live on WWRB 3.185, and we'll have this message again for you when we see you. And Yahweh is going to see you tomorrow night, hopefully, with part two of Racial Covenant. And we hope and trust that Yahweh will bless you and keep you until we see you again on the show tomorrow night. Part two of Racial Covenant Identification. I love you tonight. Most of all, Yahweh loves you too. If you're his, come to him in a humble way. We'll see you tomorrow night. Call me tonight, area code 423-338-1972. Call me at the office, leave me a message, area code 423-626-2172. Y'all bless.